Welcome back to Discerning Consciousness with Mike and Ant-Man.
Hey everyone.
This episode we'll be exploring the winding path that is the journey. Now we're not on about the 1970s American rock band, but the spiritual journey that we are all travelling while having this human experience on planet Earth.
I'm glad you pointed that out, Mike, because I was really worried there from...
Yeah, start breaking into song.
Yeah, that would be very concerning. So, the idea of the journey or walking the path is a phrase that is widely used in the whole spiritual New Age movement. We hear it ad nauseum, don't we?
Yeah, it's overused, to be fair.
So really, the point of this episode is to really dig down and gain an understanding of what it actually means.
Yes, we always like to start the episodes off with a clear definition, so you understand where we're coming from.
Mm. And I think it's instructive to consider Plato's Allegory of the Cave to begin with, isn't it?
Yeah. So one of the biggest things about the Allegory of the Cave is we are spending our entire lives viewing this materialistic world as all there is, which is essentially analogous to the fact that we are seeing shadows on the cave wall.
Mm.
Yeah. And we think that's all there is.
Mm. So we believe that that's reality.
Yeah.
Mm.
But as we start to shake reality apart, break free from our chains, and actually exploring the cosmos for what it is.
So the idea in terms of walking the path, it's about actually gaining a sense of what is real.
Yeah.
Rather than the illusion. So it's breaking through the illusion or the matrix or whatever you want to call it, really.
And that can be the most traumatic experience that you go through.
It's also interesting to add the point or consider a quote by John Lennon. He said, life is what happens to you when you're making other plans. In other words, the whole point of the path or the journey, spiritual path, is not about getting to a place. It's all about what happens whilst you're on the path, so that everything that happens to you is of significance. And I believe this is obviously the point that he was trying to make very well.
It's an interesting thing where everything that we experience physically around us is an externalization of everything that's going on internally within us. So it's very true.
And also believe there's an interesting quote by Lao Tzu as well.
So I like this one a lot, and it goes, the path of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And for me, that brings home the idea of you just have to keep putting one step in front of another. And I like to call it baby steps. Because most people like to jump step, you know, entire sections to entire sections. Take the fast route.
Yeah.
But it's all about putting one step in front of another. No matter how hard it is for that next step, you've just got to make that step. Because if you don't, you're never going to get anywhere.
And again, referring back to this idea of walking the path, we're not excluding those who don't understand what spiritualism is or have no concept of what it is, because everyone with a soul is on the path, aren't they?
Yep, so everybody on this planet is here for a reason. We are all taking different lessons. And so, you know, even if someone is completely unaware to the spiritual nature of the entire universe, doesn't matter. They're still learning their part of the journey. But, you know, there does seem to be quite an arrogance thing within in certain spiritual communities.
I'd say almost elitist them and us attitude, isn't there?
Yeah, which does tie into a very egocentric view. But that's something we'll cover in a bit later on.
So, moving on, we're going to first of all consider the awakening process, because obviously, Mike, that's an important part of when you are walking the path, isn't it?
Yeah. So going back to the whole allegory of the cave, this is when you start to realise that the shadows on the cave wall are not all that exists. It's a very traumatic experience. Well, it can't be, at least. It doesn't always have to be. Everyone's got their own journey, their own experience to take from that. But I know, at least for me, it was kind of odd.
I equate it to actually being quite painful, because what I remember, to mention again, when I first got into conspiracy research around about 2006 with 9/11, and then that led me on to other things, is it, the sense in which my reality became completely different to that of a lot of my friends and family. And you do feel like you're in this sort of completely different world, and it does feel a very lonely, painful place.
Yes, so you do find the sorts of things that you want to talk about,
yeah,
no one wants to listen.
Yeah, and of course, I'm just mentioning conspiracies because that was my journey. That's how I came to my certain awakenings, but for other people it can be completely different things.
I was going to say, I did the conspiracy route as well.
Yeah.
But I was also doing my own, those days I called it my religious research. Mm. But I've always had a certain understanding of a spiritual nature to things.
Mm.
But one thing I have found out so many times before is, like they say in The Matrix, the difference between knowing the path and walking the path are two entirely different things. Mm.
And for some people, on a more everyday, mundane level, they might have a profound awakening just by realising that their life is no longer serving them. It could be a marriage that ends, a relationship that changes. They have a, you know, quite radical career change that can lead to an awakening. So, or they might have a mental breakdown. So, there are many different journeys, if you like.
Yeah. I mean, for me, my journey is definitely to do with understanding the nature of reality. Because I've studied physics. Physics is a big thing for me. So I want to know the nuts and bolts for it, how it all works.
The framework.
Yeah. Almost the mechanics of spirituality, if you were to say such a thing.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, that's not everyone's purpose. That's not everyone's journey. So for them, it could just be realising who they are and what they need to do.
Yeah, as simple thing as, you know, moving from a career that isn't serving them into a career that actually uses their proper skills and talents, something like
definitely,
that.
Definitely, definitely. So this is what we say, everyone's on their own journey.
Mm.
It's an individual thing.
Mm.
But there are certain, like, key points that everyone goes through, if you will.
Yeah, there's certain characteristics along the journey of awakening and certain pitfalls. I know from my own experience, when I first began to learn about the true nature of existence and the manipulation of mankind, if I want to put it like that, I was drawn to taking in lots of information, and eventually that just became like a heavy anvil and it just weighed me down. And I think that's certainly in the internet age, that's the mistake that a lot of people believe. It's just, they think that, well, if I just consume enough information, then, you know, I have this awakening process. And of course that's
not, well, that's what I was referring to, like, knowing the path and walking the path are two entirely different things. Like you said, you're taking all this information on board, but what were you actually doing with it?
Because
at the end of the day, you've always got to bring to, well, how does that serve me? What can that do for me?
And also another pitfall to look out for is this idea that, which we discussed in our podcast on Conspiracy Mike, of them and us, in that when you discover the world isn't quite how you thought it was, you can begin to look down on the sheep or those in the mainstream and want to just exclude all of them, discount them, and just surround yourself with the so-called awakened people. And I think, again, that's a pitfall, because essentially what you're doing is you're closing down your heart, you're closing down your energy,
well,
and you're not reaching out to people.
This is a big thing, which I find within the awakening up process, is there are levels to the awakening up process. I can almost pinpoint several times in my life where I've experienced a certain jump in understanding and realizations.
Yeah.
And when I got there, I think, right, I'm awake now. This is brilliant. But at the same time, a couple of years later, I have another one and realize, well, I wasn't awake before. And it's a thing where we like to fool ourselves into thinking that we got there, we know it. But for me, it's always about our level of conscious awareness. So like, we might hear a particular phrase or a teaching and we think we know what it means, but it's not until we experience that and go through it that we get a greater understanding. But at the same time, a couple of years down the line, you will expand it even further with more knowledge and more understanding and more experience of it.
So it's like building on existing knowledge and then growing that knowledge more and more.
Yeah. So never fool yourselves into thinking you've got the answers, you know it all. No one will ever know it all.
No, true. Moving on, another aspect, interesting aspect of walking the path, the journey, if you want to put it like that, is a sense in which a greater connection to the world outside of yourself, be that the animal kingdom, be that nature, or of course other people.
Yeah, so the whole thing in this waking up process is the connections.
Yeah. And you realise, I know from my own perspective, how by, you know, my pain is shared with other people, and that's sort of driven my desire to want to connect with other people, because, you know, I understand where they're coming from, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're all connected, and we forget this. Because, like we discussed in the social conditioning, we're all taught to be like dog-eat-dog world.
Mm.
So we're all taught to almost look at everyone as an enemy.
Mm, yeah.
An outsider.
Mm.
So we almost
someone that's going to get in your way to what you want to achieve.
Yeah, you almost have to compete with everyone.
Yeah.
So in a slightly sociopathic and psychopathic way, we all disconnect from each other.
Mm.
But then as we start walking this path, we start learning that we're actually all one people. We're all connected.
Mm.
But beyond that, we're also connected to the birds, the bees, you know, the trees, the ground.
Mm.
And for me, it's been a big connection to the Gaia theory.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a real connection to Mother Earth.
Yeah.
The true spirit of nature.
Yeah. And that's why it can be very saddening when you realise what we are doing to this planet.
Yeah. Not only that, just how unconnected we've been our entire lives.
Mm.
Because for me, I've just understood there's certain cycles that are going on that we just have no idea about.
Mm, yeah.
And we need to reconnect within those cycles to really be where we need to be.
So what you're talking about really is a shamanistic approach to awakening, whereby you integrate yourself with nature and the elements more and more.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Mm. The other thing about connecting outside of ourselves, it's kind of like a soulful process, because I know people that enjoy just walking in nature or love animals, there's this sort of soulful element to it, isn't there?
Well, it feeds us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a feedback loop.
Yeah, yeah.
So the more we put into what we're trying to connect to, the more we get back from it.
Because
this is the thing, we don't realise this, but, you know, the materialistic view of the world is completely blown out the window. And there's more going on at everyday level. So even when you're talking to another person, there's an energy exchange.
Of course, yeah.
And we're naturally taught and we're brought up to almost steal and hoard other people's energies.
Yes.
But as soon as you start eradicating that view and you start just feeding energy into everyone, so instead of trying to hoard it for yourself, you're giving it away freely.
Mm.
Suddenly, when you're doing this, energy comes back to you in abundance.
Yeah.
And in a giant feedback loop, it expands and expands and expands, and suddenly everyone's loving life, everyone's joyful.
Mm.
You know, no one has to worry about stealing and hoarding.
Yeah, because we're no longer being energy vampires, which is essentially how society operates. And I think it's a really good point that you make, Mike, because when that shift happens in people's perception, that's when the world is going to change beyond what we can comprehend.
Yeah, yeah. We are too limited by our conditioning to actually see what the world could possibly be.
Mm. And the way in which we truly are connected on an energetic level to other people. Yeah,
yeah. So this is why we think that the whole connecting process is very important.
Mm. And I know some people may see it as being a bit cheesy, because some ways in which it's defined and interpreted within the whole spiritual New Age movement can be a little bit dodgy. I like the way you've described
it. Well, this is the reason it's got so much negative connotations almost, because it's almost viewed as the hippie way of life.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you don't want to be hippie.
No. Yeah. So it's easy to discount, but actually it's science.
Yeah, it's the way to be.
But
hey, the world's crazy, so we just live with it.
Yeah.
But going on to I think the most important bit about the waking up process.
Yeah.
And then for me, that's going through the healing process of dealing with your own baggage. Yeah,
absolutely. I agree with you on that, because you can't move anywhere unless you heal your psychological and emotional baggage, which is, you know, holding us back, all of us. That, for me, as you say, is the core of the journey.
Yeah. So this is the stuff that holds you back.
Mm.
Holds you down, weighs you down.
Mm.
Like you were on about, you were bringing all that knowledge on board, but it was just making you heavy.
Yeah. So also, at this stage, it's where we will need the guidance of teachers, spiritual healers, you know, ethical people, of course, because there's a lot of people out there that claim to be healers and gurus, and of course they're charlatans. So it's quite, we need to be careful in that process, don't we?
Well, I have to admit, you don't always need someone to help you deal with your baggage, but it helps.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, for me, it was a case of, like, I was starting to identify my baggage, but I was just almost too frightened to deal with it. So it wasn't until, like, you know, I got on board with the shamanistic aspects of life that suddenly it was, like, easier to deal with. But if you're not focusing on your baggage, if you're not dealing with it, it builds up and builds up and builds up and actually becomes an even worse problem.
And of course, the whole idea of healing, again, is a complete misnomer, which we won't go into, but because there are certain aspects of healing within the whole spiritual New Age element which are nothing of the sort, because they're not addressing the root. They're just trying to heal the exterior, but you've got to get to the right nub.
It's healing the symptoms, not healing the cause. And this is the one thing that bogs me within a lot of New Age spiritualistic programs that almost teach irresponsibility.
I would agree.
Because instead of actually saying, right, there's a certain part of the baggage that you've got to deal with, but instead of actually saying you've got to deal with it, they go, right, no, you want to buy this cream and it will sort it out for you.
Or do this chant or this meditation and this will heal you. Don't get me wrong, that can be an important part of the healing, but very often it's a psychological approach that is needed to heal, you know, and that is often forgotten in a lot of the New Age spiritual circles, who really, what they do, a lot like in the mainstream, they just offer a simple solution that will make you feel good.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the normal world, as it were, psychiatry never actually helps people deal with their own baggage.
No, absolutely.
They'll just let them sit there for an hour moaning about their life at the moment, but won't actually deal with the cause.
Very, very, very good point there, the next thing I want to talk about, Mike, is the ego in terms of walking the path, because I know in certain spiritual movements and understandings, they hold it to be their core truth that we need to destroy the ego. And we're both of the opinion that that is a big, big mistake.
Well, yeah, the ego has got a bad rep in itself. A lot of misunderstanding going there. So the ego is a very important part of the human experience.
Keeps us alive.
You couldn't have it without it. But at the same time, the ego can be misrepresented or misrepresent itself within you. So the ego is meant to help you deal with daily life. It's you want to get that done, right, this is the way to do it. But it doesn't want to be the person in charge.
No, it doesn't want to be the captain of the ship.
Yeah, it's not the decision maker.
No.
It's the how-to guy. So, and I will admit, because of the way we have our society structured, and it's all about forgetting who you really are, and it's about just keeping you in that very limited consciousness.
Well, keeping you in a very extreme egoic state.
Because of that, the ego is fooled into thinking it's in charge, it's the king, lead guy. And because of that, it, to be fair, is the cause of most of the world's problems, if not all of them.
I would agree with that,
Because it's the cause of all of the world's problems at the moment, a lot of spiritual teachers will tell you, you've got to destroy the
and
ego.
And it's kind of understandable that that is the response.
I get that. But at the same time, the ego is a very important part of you. So why do you want to destroy an important part of you? And I think to more accurately state it, it's not about destroying the ego.
No.
It's about putting it in its place.
Yeah.
It's about understanding what role it takes. So you can actually live your life more freely.
Sure. And I believe the story of the Fool, the card, the Fool, in the tarot, can speak on this subject, can't it, in terms of putting the ego in the right place, because you've got a character here who seems completely devoid of ego and lives completely in the moment.
Yeah, And that's how we really need to be and start acting in the world. Because one of the things about the ego and the way we live our busy lives at the moment is we're constantly thinking about the past, something that happened then, or the future, something that's going to happen in the future. And by doing that, you're not in the now, which is the most important place to be. Well, it's the only place there is, but we forget that.
And of course, relating it back to the four, if you think of the actual physical representation on the card, he's just got a little bindle, and he's not encumbered by lots of material possessions, which I think is an important point.
Yeah, so we live in this materialistic world that actually tells you you've got to have loads of stuff. If you don't have loads of stuff and really expensive stuff, then who are you? But that's not who we're meant to be.
No, no.
An actual fact, because he's not encumbered by anything, he is free to explore the world as he wants to.
Yeah, and of course he's got the smile on his face as well, which is very important. Yeah, he doesn't take himself too seriously.
Yeah, always happy.
yeah. Right, up next, what we're going to discuss in terms of walking the path is more of a sort of a deeper level, aren't we?
Yeah, so this is... really putting a bit more emphasis on what I was talking about, the levels of understanding earlier.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many times you hear a certain spiritual truth told to you. It's not until you have that epiphany moment where you suddenly realise what it's all about.
I mean, a classic one that we hear a lot, obviously, is as above, so below, the alchemical understanding. But, you know, you can hear it said, you can read it in text, but it's not until you actually get an inner understanding that you're going to really get the depth of what that means.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so with these levels of understanding, no matter how many times you're told about those spiritual teachings, it's not until you truly understand it yourself and have that epiphany moment that everything starts to truly make sense to you. But even then, you might have another epiphany moment about that same thing in a couple of years later. It's all about your level of consciousness at the time and how it feeds into that.
And also another aspect is you begin to have that desire to understand what your soul purpose is. Because when you have an understanding of the depth of your actual being beyond your ego and personality, it's like, well, what is the plan for my soul? You know.
Not only that, it's almost that time when you start almost toying with the only question in existence, and that is, who am I?
Because
when you get past the ego, you get past the conditioning, you get past everything else that you're fooled to believe is you, you start realizing, well, if that's not me, then the question comes about.
And again, Mike, I'd like to pick up the point here that this can be a really uncomfortable process.
Yes.
Because it's like you're completely shattering yourself into a million pieces, your concept of who you are, and reconfiguring it. And again, for those around you, your loved ones, it can seem very strange because your behaviour might change, your likes and dislikes might change. You know what I mean? Simple things like the food you eat, where you like to go, you may decide to move. All these things are all get shaken up, don't they?
Yeah. I liken it to the glass metaphor. And they say that your life is like a glass with all the crud at the bottom. And that crud can be your baggage, can be your ego attachments and stuff like that.
So thinking in terms of maybe like solidified mud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the only way to reach enlightenment is to actually start pouring more water into this glass.
To break up the crud.
But by doing so, the glass starts to get murky.
Mm.
So your life might have been fine before you started this process. But as soon as you start this process, your life goes into chaos.
And that's essentially, you're describing the healing process, aren't
you?
Perfectly.
But everyone who starts this process and then their life goes into chaos doesn't know how to deal with it. I know I didn't. I struggled for a long time with this.
You can get quite resentful. It's almost like, well, I'll go back to being asleep. Thank you.
Yeah.
because those old certainties that you once held to no longer serve you.
Yeah. And it's not until that you pour enough water into this glass and enough of that crud falls out that suddenly everything becomes nice and clear again.
Yeah.
But it does take time.
Mm.
And to be honest, the older you are in your life before you start this process, the longer it can take to actually remove all of that scrap. Yeah.
In terms of, you mentioned earlier, interestingly, Mike, this idea of realizations that come to you on the path. I know recently I had this real deep, profound realization that no matter where I've been, no matter where I go in life, I never leave home. I know it sounds really cheesy, but I had this real inner sense in which it doesn't really ultimately matter what I do because I'm always at home. Do you know what I mean? Inside. And again, I know it might sound like a cheesy thing to say, but I really profoundly felt it, if that makes sense to you.
Not quite, no. I mean, I get the whole idea about home where the heart is. You know, you can always be at home wherever you are, as long as you're with the people you love.
And also, I had this sense in which, related to this, that it doesn't really matter what I do in life. It doesn't really matter what I do. I'm where I need to be.
Yeah, I love what you say there. Because for me, I went through a quite big depression, going through the chaos of all the mud. And I came to, and the weirdest thing is, I came to a physical understanding of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Quite deep.
So I came to the understanding that through the entire universe, right now, right this second, I am here. Because my particles are here, of my body, my spirituality, I am here. So everything that the entire universe has done has led up to this moment to be me to be here.
So you couldn't be anywhere else.
Exactly. So why would I worry about...
So why fret and worry?
About all the previous times, about what I've got to be doing when I'm here. I'm just here, experiencing. And that's how it's meant to be. Can't be any other way.
That's a good point you make, Mike, because there's certain teachings within spirituality that say you don't really need to work too hard at healing past things as long as you are present in the moment.
Yeah, and that's what I always keep saying earlier about, we're constantly in thinking about the past situations or constantly thinking about future situations. Never are we truly in the moment, in the now.
And that is key, isn't it?
Exactly.
Right, next, what we're going to talk about is the micro and the macro.
So this is a bit of almost nuts and bolts understanding of things. One of my particular focuses is this, but most people really don't have to focus on this sort of
information. Take it on board.
But it's definitely good to know of an understanding. And that is, no matter what's going on in your life, what's going on internally will always be expressed externally. The only thing is, because we're still looking at the shadows on the wall, we might not necessarily realise or understand or notice that that's what's going on.
So in a very simple way, Mike, someone's back problem could be actually, they might just attribute it to the fact that they fell or something, or they moved in a weird way, when actually it's pointing to some unresolved emotional issue.
It really can be just as mundane as that. But it's to the level where there can't be any difference between the macro and the micro, because they're the reflections of each other.
It can't, as you say, it can't actually be any other way, and yet we kind of lose concept of that. And I know from my own, if I've had ailments in the past, rather than seeing it as actually my body is trying to almost teach me or tutor me, I see it as, oh my God, why is this happening to my body? And that's the ego, isn't it, almost?
It's actually quite interesting to notice, is that as soon as something manifests itself physically in your life, it's actually because you're struggling with that particular problem. And so to help you experience it, it physicalises.
Flares up.
So you can actually deal with it.
So you can, again, go to the root and actually heal it properly.
Yep, but most people will...
medicate.
Do it badly. Won't realise that that's the process that's going on.
Very good. Also, whilst walking the path, it's worth considering this idea of the concept of good versus evil. Because our concept of that can change quite profoundly, can't it?
Yeah. So, I know for me, learning about all the conspiracies, learning about all the ills and evils of the world. It was a very big focus for me. The indignation of it all.
I think they call it a dark unveiling or a dark awakening.
Yeah, so everything that's going on essentially pissed me off.
Mm.
You know, I couldn't stand it all. I wanted to do something about it. Mm. But at the same time, what was there to do?
There's a lot of anger. I know with my experience of getting into conspiracies and alternative research, alternative history, was the anger and the resentment and wanting to direct that somewhere.
Yep.
You know, where do you direct this intense energy, if you like?
And like we were saying earlier, unfortunately, that tends to go towards the people that aren't aware of it going on.
Yes, yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Creating that them and us.
Yeah. Why don't you wake up? It's like, well, that's not really the point.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, we come with that understanding, well, if everyone was awake to it going on, it wouldn't go on.
Mm.
So that's why it does tend to go towards the people that aren't aware or don't believe.
So is the shift that happens, I know from my perspective, when I gained an understanding of the role of the bad guys, if you like, in terms of the progression of the planet and existence, was, oh, actually, they're just playing a role. As bad as these, pantomime demons are, they're actually just playing a role in order to facilitate the growth of humanity and its progression.
Yeah.
And I know that's quite a zoomed out, and it's hard for people to take on board because there are hideous things going on, and awful displays of evil, but from an extremely zoomed out perspective, it's kind of part of a whole mechanism, isn't it?
It really is. And that's one of the major struggles, because you're almost looking at it from a non-human perspective.
Yeah.
And a human perspective at the same time.
Mm.
Which almost creates a bit of a dichotomy and a split within the mind.
Mm.
Which is a struggle to deal with.
Mm.
And I have to admit, I struggled with this particular idea for quite a while.
Mm.
Because
it's very troubling.
It's the craziness of it all. Mm. You know, at one point you can't deal with all the evils that are going on in the world, and you just want to stop them.
Mm.
But at the same time, you realise, well, actually, all these evils that are going on in the world are there to actually try and teach us a lesson.
They are tutoring humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we need to pay attention to these. Yes, we still need to stop them.
Yeah, I was going to add to what you're saying, Mike. It's important that there are trailblazers and campaigners and people out there that try and improve the plight of the impoverished and the oppressed. That is very important that that process happens. I'm not saying, you know, we should just walk away.
Yeah, and let them happen.
Yeah.
That's totally wrong.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, we've got to learn the lessons. But the fact is, we don't learn any lessons until we are put under stress, put under the pressure, or experience a certain evil, a certain bad situation.
Mm.
Because if everything was a straight line, everything was good, everything would be the same. There would be no difference. Nothing would be learnt or gained from it.
Mm. And of course, this idea of good and evil plays out on the micro and macro level, doesn't it? On our own, in our own individual lives and out there in the world.
Exactly. And we need to pay attention to it and realise what we need to either stop doing or learn to do better.
Mm.
But you know, like I said, there's the two sides of the coin to look at it from.
Yeah.
When you actually look at it from the non-human perspective, which is just the kind of like universal consciousness level, you realise that, like you say, we're all just playing different roles.
Mm.
So almost from a very, you know, godlike level of things.
Yeah.
You know, God is the murderer and God is the murdered.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
As far as it's concerned, it's like, oh, well, that was a fun game I just played.
Yeah.
But it's realising from those experiences, and that's why it always comes down to the experience of it all.
Mm.
Not just the learning that of it, key. The experience of it,
yeah.
That we actually realise, well, actually, even though it was a game that was played, that wasn't a good thing that was done.
No, no, yeah. You still have to have discernment in that case.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if we hadn't have gone through that experience, how would we have known it was a good or a bad thing to do?
Yeah, it's like a process of evolution, if you like.
That. Yes, because at the end of the day, it's all about growth.
Mm. Yeah.
Every being in the universe, from plants to humans, has to grow.
Mm. Yeah. Definitely.
So if we don't have that growth on board,
you have atrophy.
Yeah.
What we're going to consider next is really, what is the path of awakening? What is the whole point? And really, in essence, it's about gaining wisdom, isn't it?
Yeah. So like we keep going on for this episode, it's not just about knowledge.
No.
Knowledge will only get you so far. And actually, if you're only doing knowledge and you're not gaining any wisdom from it,
yeah,
you're not serving your life.
No.
And that's why I like to say that wisdom is the accruement of knowledge and experience.
Mm. And you can describe it in terms of walking the walk, because many walk the talk, but very few actually walk the walk. And that's what like, wisdom you are expressing there. In other words, you're not blowing smoke up your backside. You're actually, in your everyday level of consciousness, you are expressing that.
Yeah.
Mm. Also, in terms of wisdom, there's the idea that you gain a concept of the absurdity of life. So you can see from the Buddha, he's always laughing, isn't he?
Yes, and this is something that I've only just started to realise myself.
Yeah.
Of it's all about the comedy. It's all about laughing at situations.
It can be hard, can't it? Because life is a tough gig.
Yeah. You
know? It's not easy.
Well, for me, I came to the realisation that it's all just a giant joke. So get on with it.
Yeah. And the other thing about, say, enlightened beings walking this planet, or teachers or gurus who are who have wisdom and express wisdom, they're just very light. You know what I mean? They're very, and because they can laugh at life, they tend to be devoid of ego, as we said earlier. And, you know, they have a proper perspective on life.
Yeah, because so many times you can get too serious with the spiritual nature of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And as soon as you make it serious, it's heavy.
Yeah, and this seriousness...
It draws you down.
This seriousness can be like you have a list of, the right, I need to do this, I need to do this, you know, I need to gain this spiritual teaching, I need to go to this ashram, I need to see this guru, and it all becomes... It just becomes this sort of almost like a commercial process.
Suddenly, it becomes a new prison for you.
Yeah. You just get in, you get out of the mainstream box into another box, don't you?
Yeah.
With a different label on it, essentially.
Might be a slightly bigger box, but the whole journey, the whole spiritual path, the idea of getting that wisdom on board is actually for there to be no box at all.
Yes. That is the real key, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, we can't mention absurdity of life and not talk about Monty Python, of course.
I was going to say, I absolutely love the song In the Life of Brian.
Yeah.
Which is always look on the bright side of life.
Mm, yeah. Because it's in essence what they're saying is you can't take things too seriously, but that is quite a hard philosophy to live to, isn't it?
Because... It's easy to say, but it's hard to live.
And even in Western society, they're making, like, the economy's getting harder. It's harder to get jobs, you know, it's harder to support yourself. So your day-to-day, maintaining yourself is not quite as easy as it once was. Well, it's never easy, but it's becoming harder.
Yeah, and the speed of life has been upped all the time. Mm. So we're constantly worried about getting to the job on time. We're constantly worried about, right, when my next paycheck's going to be done. We're constantly worried about, you know, when's my next meal going to be. Mm. So we're constantly on this kind of like the merry-go-round of life.
Mm. Yeah.
And half the time we forget to step back, you know, and just be mindful, be in the now.
Mm.
And like you say, laugh at the situation.
So that's locking us in, by design, I would suggest, into the physical realm, isn't it? Locking us into the material, physical realm.
Exactly. I mean, for me, like, to go back onto the whole conspiratorial nature of things, you know, there was a lot of knowledge I gained on board, but it wasn't until I understood that every single conspiracy there is out there, at the end of the day, is all about just... closing off people's minds and keeping us in a very limited perceptual world. And it's not until I came to that idea that I suddenly realised, well, if everything's about stopping you from waking up, then our only real mission and key in life is to wake up.
By definition, if that's what they're trying to prevent people from doing, it's quite an easy answer, then you do the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. And ever since I got to that point, I don't think I've even been on a conspiratorial website, full stop.
No, same here, Mike. In the last few years, it just doesn't have the same appeal, because it's like, well, I've done that.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, something bad happens, is that fair enough? Okay. Mm.
That's because you kind of know the underlying agenda. Once you know the underlying agenda, you don't have to keep revisiting specific conspiracies or events, do you?
But unfortunately, some people do get trapped in that. Like you were saying, it becomes the new prison.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we'll look to wrap things up now, Mike. It's been a really interesting episode.
Yep.
Good to end on wisdom, because we always like to end on a positive note.
Yep. And so I would like everyone to really think now about where they are on their own spiritual journey, on their own spiritual path.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I have to admit, for me right now, I don't know about you, Anthony, but yeah. I'll have to admit, I am struggling. I'm going through that chaos.
Yeah.
You know, like Lao Tzu says, I'm putting one foot in front of the other. I'm, you know, just taking those baby steps no matter where it leads me.
Sure.
Not liking it where it leads me at the moment, but I'm going through it.
I'm thinking very, very slow baby steps in my own case, but enjoying the ride at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. You know, there's always ups and downs. That's understandable, but you've just got to put one foot in front of another.
Right, thank you very much, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.